Good morning. Welcome to Maryland Morning on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. Deaths from heroin and opioid overdoses have continued to climb this year in Maryland, as in many other states. Last week, Governor Hogan's office released an interim report from his Heroin and Opioid Emergency Task Force aimed at curbing addiction. The task force's recommendations range from police efforts to disrupt groups distributing drugs to improving treatment centers to media awareness campaigns. No part of the state seems immune from the overdose epidemic, so late yesterday we touched base with a coordinator for the Opioid Misuse Prevention Program on the Eastern Shore and with Dr. Lena Wen, Baltimore City's health commissioner. Since Mayor Rawlings Blake's Heroin Treatment and Prevention Task Force made recommendations 6 weeks ago, I asked Dr. Wen if she's seeing results in the city.
You know, the issue with heroin and opioid abuse is something that the city has faced for decades, and we know that we need both short-term and long-term solutions. And so our long-term solutions include making sure that there's treatment on demand, that the moment that someone needs treatment for addiction services, that they can get it. But we also need to have other short-term wins as well, because we have to make sure that we're saving people in order for them to get treatment in the first place, which is why, while we're focusing on treatment on demand, we are also emphasizing the importance of preventing overdose deaths, because we have to save a life today in order to have a better future tomorrow. So it's hard for us to track results in a way that you mean immediately, because we know that we have to track both the number of people that we're training for overdoses to prevent overdoses, which is a number that definitely has increased. We are at more than 3,000 people trained in this year alone to prevent overdoses, and that's a 400% increase from last year. That's a number that we're very proud of, but we know that we have a long way to go, and also that we have to find the numbers next year for the number of people who are dying from overdose, as well as the treatment availability that we have in the city.
So 3,000 people, these are mostly police and first responders trained?
No. They are primarily family and friends and community members who are trained, and that is what we are particularly proud of. Yesterday, for International Overdose Awareness Day, we had outreach workers doing trainings at many sites across the city. And we had people coming from the streets who are saying they had members in their family who died from overdose. They did not have the tools or the time to do anything about it, and now they want to have the medication, naloxone, in order to save someone else's life. And yesterday alone, in one day, our outreach workers did 382 trainings, not of first responders, not of police, but of community members who now can save the life of a loved one or neighbor or someone that they encounter here in Baltimore City.
We've talked before about naloxone and the price of it that spiked earlier this year. Is it affordable? Does the city have enough naloxone for all these newly trained interveners to use?
This is a really good question, and we are targeting the naloxone pricing issue on several fronts. The first is that we continue to work closely with Congressman Elijah Cummings in raising awareness of why this generic medication has gone up in price so much, and he has asked for an investigation into this, which we very much believe is necessary. The second is we're fortunate to have received a donation yesterday. This was announced by Kaleo Pharmaceuticals of an injection medication, intramuscular injection medication called Evzio, which is also naloxone but formulated like an EpiPen. And we received a donation of more than 6,500 of Evzio, which, again, is not a long-term solution, because long-term we need to find a sustainable way for our city to afford naloxone. But in the meantime, that is a potential of 6,500 lives that we can save. The third method is that Medicaid currently in Maryland covers naloxone such that patients who have Medicaid will pay just $1 to get it. And so that's why we're encouraging for everyone to get prescriptions for naloxone so that they can get it filled for just $1.
Dr. Wen, I have read that nationally about maybe 1 out of 8 heroin addicts is able to overcome the addiction. What are you doing in Baltimore that raises those odds?
Let me take a step back and question those numbers for a moment, if you don't mind, which is that our numbers based on national studies, show that just over 1 in 10 patients who have substance addiction are able to get the help that they need. So if you're not able to get the help that you need, how are you going to be able to tackle that particular problem? I mean, we would never say to somebody, well, I'm sorry that you have to be on dialysis, but we only 1 in 10 people get dialysis. And so you have to fight this yourself without the help of something that we actually know is going to save your life. We have to see addiction and mental health needs in the same way. And so here in Baltimore City, what we're doing is we're looking at what exactly is our treatment capacity. We need to understand exactly what our need is for inpatient services, outpatient services, mental health, for medication-assisted treatment, for detox services. We need to know exactly what those numbers are. Compare that to the number of people who need help. And that will allow us to then say, here's how much funding we need so that every individual who needs assistance can get it. We also have to have treatment on demand. We cannot let somebody wait 3 weeks, 3 months in order to get the treatment that they require. No, we would never say to somebody, wait 3 months, and if you haven't died from a stroke, come back and we'll treat you for that stroke at that time. So we have, that's what we're working on in Baltimore City while we're looking to also overcome and reduce overdose deaths, that we're also looking to improve treatment and specifically expand treatment capacity. And these are all recommendations that are part of the Mayor's Heroin Task Force, which we are committed to implementing through leadership at the Health Department and through our partners across the city.
And we'll keep in touch with you about how that goes. Thank you so much for talking to us. Thanks.
Thank you, Sheila.
Baltimore City Health Commissioner Dr. Lena Wen. On 88.1, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. We also spoke with Beth Williams, who coordinates the I Wish I Knew campaign in Talbot County. It's part of the Opioid Misuse Prevention Program in 5 counties, Talbot, Kent, Queen Anne's, Caroline, and Dorchester. The campaign recently received federal funds for outreach. I asked Beth Williams about the connection between misusing prescription pain relievers and heroin overdoses.
It seems like at least what we have found in Talbot County and in our the Mid-Shore region is that numerous people are starting out, 12 to 13% actually of our adolescents reported abusing prescription drugs in the last 30 days. And we're finding that it seems like many people are starting by getting prescribed medications out of a medicine cabinet of a friend or family member. In fact, almost half of those who end up injecting heroin started with using prescription painkillers.
And is it the overdoses that, I mean, those including those that turn out to be fatal, are they more after someone has switched to street drugs like heroin, or do they also come from prescription drug use?
Yes, certainly what we're seeing, you know, people can overdose on opioid drugs, but, you know, you have a specific dose to a medication. Even if somebody is misusing it, there's still a predictable dose in most cases. But when you get to heroin, that's what we're finding is most people are overdosing or coming very close to overdosing or close to dying on heroin that they're getting off of the street, which is, you know, not regulated. There's no dose. There's no, you know, safe measure of use at all of heroin.
The I Wish I Knew campaign, do I understand correctly? It is like the public outreach part of this opioid misuse prevention program?
Yes, that's correct, Sheila. It's a media campaign that we actually initiated at the beginning of our program. You know, usually media is incorporated as we go along, but we had the opportunity to introduce a campaign that would be, it's very innovative. It kind of is a conversation starter here on the shore. Our hope is that it would raise awareness, engage people, kind of maybe start to get people to accept that, yes, we do have a heroin problem on the Eastern Shore.
I'll tell you, some of the statements on your website that came from Twitter messages,
yes,
are just heartbreaking.
Yes.
I mean, these I wish I knew statements. One is, I wish I saw the signs that my son was on drugs and I was the number one enabler.
Yes.
Somebody else wrote, I just lost my daughter on Valentine's Day due to heroin. I really wish that there were houses that our children could live in while going through recovery. The process for our children getting clean needs to be longer than the 30 days they normally do. It stinks that no one seems to want to let us open a house just for this. And another one. There were no recovery houses in Talbot County for women. It makes me feel like help wasn't available for women with limited funds.
Right.
You said you wanted these messages to start a conversation. How long have you been publishing these messages, and is this conversation going in the Mid-Shore?
The conversation is going very well. We've had very good response, and as you read some of these statements, it is heart-wrenching, and every time we get one, we all, you know, reaffirm our dedication to this mission of prevention. Certainly there is such a need for treatment as well, and hopefully that will be an outgrowth of what we're trying to do. But yes, the conversation is, you know, really, really ramping up here. We feel that the media outlet, Soul Candy Media, that actually initiated the campaign, developed it, and implemented it, was just spot on with the message of I Wish I Knew. You know, it's a non-threatening message. It's informative, but it's also engaging at the same time. And we were really hoping to get people to feel comfortable to share their anonymous messages about what they wish they knew, either now or in their past. And it helps us kind of in our planning process, which we're starting to use all these messages and these, you know, this input from community to plan what we need to do to kind of address, you know, the gaps in information and the gaps in resources.
Beth, keep in touch with us as this unfolds.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate you talking to us. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sheila.
Beth Williams of the Opioid Misuse Prevention Program, which works in 5 counties on Maryland's Eastern Shore to prevent addiction. We have a link to the I Wish I Knew campaign and some of its messages, as well as more information, all at our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. Earlier, we spoke with Baltimore City Health Commissioner Dr. Lena Wen. I'm Sheila Cast. Ahead on Maryland Morning, David Simon on crime in Baltimore and segregation in public housing. Stay with us on 88.1.